Hello, welcome to Podcast First Player, episode 115. I'm one of your hosts, Cal, and joining me as always is a man who has realised life is nothing like The Sims. He's high-fived a girl 30 times on the bus today, and she still won't sleep with him. It's only bloody Dan.
It's a true story.
It's true. This is actually a genuine true story.
Yeah, I mean, it might have worked if I'd have carried on longer, but someone dragged me off.
Yeah, it was just shouting, whoopee! You all right?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, man. We haven't done a podcast in a few old bloody weeks. Let's just get down to it.
Yeah, let's get on with the thing.
News!
This podcast is brought to you by CD Keys.
Boo! And
unlike Hitler's gas prices, you can save money on Call of Duty World War II on PC for just £39.79. That's a saving of £10.20, which is an absolute bloody bargain.
Is that what they told you to say?
Nope. just for reference, I get sent the sales and stuff, and I just make the shit up.
Yeah, I figured as much.
So yeah. Anyway, just some news.
Sure.
The Xbox One X is available now, Dan, and the reviews are in. The overall reviews for Microsoft's new console are pretty good.
Thought they would be.
Yeah. Most praising the power inside the new little box, but most of the negatives are also in kind of the same boat. As Xbox head, Phil Spencer suggested, the Xbox One X shares a lot in common with the company's high-end Xbox One Elite controller. Both devices are designed for enthusiasts through and through and are priced accordingly, which makes the cheaper Xbox One S a better fit for most people, which everyone kind of said before it was even in anybody's hands. So that's not, that was a given. The Xbox One X isn't perfect from what's been said so far. Its load times don't live up to Microsoft's claims at all. Basically, they said it was 50% faster than the Xbox One. And a lot of the reviews tested this with playing like Gears of War and shit on Xbox One S and the X. And it was literally, a lot of the things were like about 3 or 4 seconds faster, which doesn't equate to 50%. And some reviews also noticed some poor HDR implementation. If you game on a 1080p TV and don't have plans to upgrade to 4K, the cheaper Xbox One S is going to be a better fit. And while you will get some graphical enhancements with the X, you don't get your money's worth if you don't have a 4K HDR TV. If you do, however, own a 4K HDR TV and an original Xbox One, most reviewers only recommend getting the X if you have the disposable cash to spare for the increased visual fidelity and the performance benefits. So, overall, pretty damn good, but not quite the tremendous thing that it's been hyped up to be. But I think if you haven't got an Xbox, it's not a bad route to go down.
Probably not.
If you don't own a PC that can play 4K gaming,
or you don't want to get one.
Well, you don't want one, yeah. While we're on the subject, though, Dan, just as Microsoft's new system is hitting store shelves, Sony has not so coincidentally announced a new PlayStation 4 Pro bundle, dubbed the Only on PlayStation bundle. It consists of a PlayStation 4 Pro and a host of PS4 exclusive games released this year, which include Uncharted The Lost Legacy, Gran Turismo Sport, Wipeout Omega Collection, Horizon Zero Dawn, and Horizon's new DLC expansion, The Frozen Wilds. And it is priced at £450, the exact same price that an Xbox One X costs without any games.
Yes.
So I sense a little bit of sneakery there, a little bit of buggery.
Possibly, a little skullduggery.
Yeah. Hey. But on a whole, not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah.
And I still think if you own a PC, there's no point. No point.
No. Any of the exclusives.
Well, a good PC anyway.
The majority of the exclusives you're going to be able to get anyway.
Yeah, you got your Gears. You've got, I think even Halo has been announced that it'll be on PC. All the big... The big hitters are going to be available on PC via the Play Anywhere scheme. So, not really a massive point. I still think a PS4 Pro Switch PC setup is the way to go.
Yeah.
Get the best of everything. Can't complain, unless you haven't got any money. In which case...
Don't waste it.
Yeah, just pay your bills. And
you've got a phone, just use a bloody phone.
Yeah. Speaking of phones, Dan, Razer have come out with a new phone. Well, I say a new phone, their first phone.
Razer? What, the guys who make the bloody mouses and stuff?
Oh, indeed, he do, Billy do.
Why on earth would they make a phone? What a weird...
I'm glad they have,
weird
Dan.
Tangent.
I'm glad they have.
Is it all lit up and cool?
To be fair, it's a nice looking phone, but it's not... It's not going to make you double take and go, ooh, what's that? It's just a nice looking phone.
Wait, is that what I've got?
You haven't got a Razer, Dan.
No, not the phone, the penis. I believe. No, I haven't. Sorry, I was just checking on the bottom then just to see if that's what I had. It's not.
No.
Apologies for breaking the momentum then. Carry on.
Well, basically, I think it was last year before maybe, Razer purchased the phone, the American phone company, I think it's Next Robin, something like that.
Robin?
Yeah. It's like Next Bit Robin, something. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Sure.
I haven't wrote this down. But basically, it looks very similar, like a larger version of their previous phone before they was acquired by Razer. It is the first phone to have. Are you ready, Dan?
A camera.
120 hertz refresh rate screen, making it the fastest mobile, phone screen ever. Everything is super quick. Everything's super fast. It's got 8 GB RAM, Snapdragon 835 processor, and it looks nice and tasty. It's aimed as a gaming phone. And as such, the likes of Square Enix and Peoples are making games specifically for the Razer Mobile, as it's called. And it looks really nice. I was really tempted to get it, but it's only on 3.
Fuck 3.
So I'm hoping. Also, it does indeed, well, specs-wise at least, dicks all over the iPhone X, which obviously, as we know, costs £1,000. For the entry-level model. The Razer costs $699.
That's still a lot.
That's SIM-free. That's if you buy it outright, obviously. When I did have a look, you could get the phone for £49 up front and £41 a month.
That's only a few quid more than mine.
Yeah. But it does look really nice. If I can get it SIM-free, I'm hoping it'll work on any network.
Yeah.
So I am seriously going to look into it because it looks really, really nice. But yeah, that's it on phones, unless you've downloaded any cool games.
I've actually been playing quite a few games on the old phone.
Oh, really, Dan?
This might be a delayed return to our fantastic feature, Get Your Apps Out.
Get Your Apps Out, we did like once that time.
There's definitely a jingle in there somewhere. I'm thinking maybe the tune from Get Your Rocks Off.
Get your raps out, get your raps out, Danny.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. There you go, bang, sold. Next. What have we been playing? Right.
Well, I don't know what you've been playing.
Let me finish. Right, so there's a Stranger Things game. It's like an 8-bit game that came out a couple of weeks before Season 2 came out on Netflix for Stranger Things. It's pretty good, actually. It's just sort of a general top-down, your Hopper, and I've only got Hopper and Lucas so far.
It's like Zelda with a big fist.
Kind of, yeah. There's little puzzles to solve, and it's just all, you know, set in Hawkins and in the Upside Down. It's pretty cool. I've also been playing Flippy Knife, where it sells itself as having the most realistic knife physics in a game.
Okay.
And you basically
more so than GoldenEye.
Yeah, definitely more so than GoldenEye. Jeez. But you just like flip the knife up, and it spins around, and then lands back down, and you've got to do that like as many times as you can. Fun little thing while you're having a poo. I've also been playing Hungry Shark. I had that years ago, re-downloaded it again not too long ago. Hungry Shark's awesome. Eating people, eating birds, eating fish and stuff. It's kind of cool. Mainly, though, I've been playing ZG Survival, which is zombie gunship survival, where the whole premise of the game is like, you know, there's all the... What was that one with the first person where you like running through an endless cornfield?
Oh, man.
I used to play
I know what you mean.
Well, this, you're in an AC-130... airplane gunship, and you unlock different guns for the actual side of the plane, but you've got ground troops, and you basically point them in the right direction, and they go over and they go steal resources from a place, but the zombies that are trying to get them, and you've got to sort of lay down covering fire, and you get loads of different types of weaponry, but then there's like rarity levels on those as well. Okay. But you go on raids, you get a bunch of supplies, and you can bring those back. They do a bunch of events as well, so when you kill more and more people, you unlock boxes that you unlock. So when you open them, you get like different kinds of rare loot and stuff like that. Don't know why I'm kind of so addicted for it. Again, it's a great pooing game, because it's just you can just sort of let your body do its thing, and you're just minigunning zombies down. It's pretty awesome. I love it. I think that's about it, though. I don't actually think.
I haven't played a lot lately on my phone. I'm still playing Pocket Mortars.
Yeah, and I've got the original Sonic as well, because obviously Android and I think iOS as well are that, like, Sega are releasing like one free game a month or something. Yes.
Sega forever.
Yeah, so I got, what have I got? I got the original Sonic. I got Comic Zone.
Comic Zone's awesome.
Yeah, such a good game. I think I was gonna. It was either Ninja Gaiden or something like that, but I don't think I actually got round to downloading it. But yeah, so keep your eye out on the sort of mobile stores. They're absolutely free. You can pay for a ad-free version if you want to, or you just sort of like, if you want to save the game, you watch an ad. You know, when you start the game, you watch an ad, that kind of thing. Yeah. If you don't like ads, it's like $1.99 or something to get it. So if you're a fan of sort of like old Sega games, it's worth it if your phone's pretty decent, you've got a big enough screen on it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's all good. It's all good fun. Moving on, Dan, because I haven't played anything. I started playing Deus Ex Go. Again.
Right.
Again, another good pooing game. that seems to be the only time I play.
Well, why else would you?
Oh yeah, you can play on your bloody PS4, you play on your PC. You're not gonna sit and play on your phone.
No, not at all.
That's crazy. Something we touched on yesterday, Dan, as we were laying in bed together.
I knew there was gonna be a penis joke in there somewhere.
Marvel is in... Disney are in talks to purchase 20th Century Fox.
Ha! Better get those X-Men ready, boys. They're coming for it.
I thought you were going to follow up something a bit more in-depth, but yeah.
I think it's good news.
I do and I don't. I don't think it's going to happen, if I'm honest. I think there's going to be these talks, and then I think it's... Worst best case scenario is they're going to lease the characters out like they Sony did with Spider-Man. Looking at it as a business point of view,
because you are a businessman,
obviously, Dan. Just remember, you can go to CD Keys and save money on Call of Duty World War 2 on PC for just $39.79. That is a saving of £10.20.
That doesn't make you a businessman just because you
hey,
plugged a link for something. What, you took away the discount that they told you that you could get with a code?
Yeah.
Wow. Alan Sugar, man, he should be quaking in his fucking boots, shouldn't he?
He did, to be fair. I was having a poo playing Deus Ex Go and he texted me and said, nothing. Anyway.
I'm glad you stopped that, Dan. It's correct. Yeah. Well done.
Looking at it from a business point of view, Fox would be ridiculous to lose Deadpool, Legion, even The Gifted. Even the X-Men franchise is still bringing in the money.
Not that it's not bringing in the thumbs up, though, is it?
Oh, I think if it was me, I would just give up the Fantastic Four. Probably the X-Men, to be honest, because let's be honest, with the exception of Logan, when was the last good actually genuinely good X-Men film?
X2.
There you go. So whilst the reboots have been enjoyable and were miles better than the last
First time, Class, obviously.
X2's better than First Class.
Bollocks, is it?
It definitely is. 100%.
First Class is well better.
Nah. Was well better. You've already lost on the fact that you decide to speak like a chav.
Well better, man.
Isn't it? Anyway, so they could probably lose the X-Men. Jackman's bowed down now, which is another bad thing because he said he wanted to do an Avengers film. And then he bowed down, and then apparently he might have got a chance. But I imagine if they rang him up and went, do you want to be in an Avengers film? And he went, yeah.
Like, give me them fucking claws. Stitch them into me,
like,
if you need to.
It's like, bloody wood, mate.
That was a great Australian accent there.
Thanks,
I assume that was a recording from Hugh Jackman that you just played
it
back.
It genuinely wasn't, Dan.
Oh, really?
I'm glad you was impressed.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Yeah, but some big fella from Disney had already said they won't do an R-rated film. So that's Deadpool out. X-Force, that's apparently... I don't know if it's in production or just in plans, but that's not going to happen. The Gambit film might not happen.
Or maybe they'll just take back rights to proprietary characters and just say...
That's what I mean. Maybe if they just lease out certain characters.
Mm. So if they just say, look, we want basically our rights back to use them as and when we see fit. So if they say, we want to make another X-Men film, and they go, okay, no problem, we won't use X-Men. However, you're not doing anything with the Fantastic Four at the moment. We're going to bring them in instead.
Yeah. Something well, that's like that. The thing, though, isn't it? Because if they don't use the Fantastic Four for a certain amount of time, they actually lose the rights. So if they don't want to give up the Fantastic Four, Fox are going to have to make another Fantastic Four at some point. Otherwise, the rights will revert back anyway.
Right.
I don't know how long it could be fucking 5 million years. I don't know how long it is. But if they don't want to give them up, they will have to make another film. And...
I'd rather they didn't, to be honest.
I'd rather they didn't.
I'd rather they lose the rights.
To be honest, if it's literally a case of we just don't want to lose the rights, this is going to be a lot of... They're going to have to spend money on a film that they know is probably not going to sell very well.
Yeah, either they stick to it and they try and actually salvage it, or they just rush it out the door just to keep it.
Yeah, yeah.
And only if they actually go, no, we'll do it properly this time, we'll make a really, really good one, then maybe... You know, I can kind of be on board with them keeping it, but as of yet, they've yet to prove that they can really kind of do anything with the characters. But bear in mind, though, that when the first two Fantastic Four films came out, there wasn't really kind of like a big superhero hold over the blockbusters, you know, because like now, you know, as soon as there's a new X-Men or there's a new Marvel film or Black Panther or whatever, people go, brilliant, let's get in there, let's go and see that, it's going to be amazing. Yeah. Whereas when they would have come out, it would have still been sort of like, oh, you know, Spider-Man was pretty good and the X-Men is cool.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't have been preaching to the right kind of crowds. Whereas now everyone's obviously a fucking expert.
Well, that's the thing. This is why I think we spoke about, I don't know if it was on a podcast or what, but I think this is the reason why Hellboy didn't do as well financially as it should have done. Because, I mean, Hellboy was a great film.
Oh, absolutely it is, yeah.
But at the time... there wasn't really a market for superhero blockbusters. I don't know if you'd call it a blockbuster, but it had a reasonable budget.
Hmm.
Obviously, now you've got your Guardians and the Iron Man, Spider-Man, the X-Men and stuff. It's, I mean, Fox have churned out some good ones, and you got X2. I'll give you First Class. That's all right. Obviously, Logan, Deadpool. But then you compare those films to... the heavy hitters that Disney have churned out.
Yeah.
There's been a lot more. Don't get me wrong, the Thor films, minus Ragnarok, because I haven't seen it, but I've heard very good things. The Thor films, I didn't particularly like. Iron Man 2 and 3, I didn't particularly love. Everything else has been pretty good.
Spider-Man Homecoming, not really that very good either.
Yeah, absolutely abysmal. Guardians was utter shit.
Yeah, actually, DC sell the rights to DC. They'll know what to do with them. I want the Suicide Squad fighting the Fantastic Four.
I want Zack Snyder just directing every film from every company.
Do you know what?
Get everything.
If Fox managed to get someone like Tarantino to go in and do a Fantastic Four film, I'd watch the living shit out of that. That'd be amazing.
Well, I've heard from... Well, I haven't heard from Ben Affleck, but I've read from Ben Affleck that since Whedon's taken over directing duties for Justice League, he has said it's such a better film. And I can believe it, to be honest.
Well, they get someone who's actually worked on a film with exactly this kind of crazy premise before, and they go, one of the most successful films of all time. Maybe we can get that director. And then they come in and go, wow, this is better. And you go, really? I wonder why.
But considering the film was finished,
they've had to reshoot a bit of it.
Yeah.
But I think it's about half or something, I think.
Better could
be. It's a reasonable amount anyway.
But that better could just be, it was pretty dog shit. Now it's all right.
Yeah, now it's tolerable.
Yeah.
Or it could be bad. It's all right. It wasn't as good as Wonder Woman, say. But now, it's maybe it is Guardians level, maybe it is Avengers level.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so,
to be perfectly honest.
That's incredible fucking hype there, Dan.
Yeah, I'm still... Yeah, I mean... Man, I don't want to get into this again, but...
No, we are, because we haven't done a Batman podcast for such a long time. Oh,
no, because it was all over, because Batman vs Superman came out, and we were like, oh, thank God, we don't have to talk about this fucking film anymore, we've finally seen it.
Suicide Squad.
And then Suicide Squad. Wonder Woman was great, right?
No, but it brings us back onto Batman vs Superman.
Yeah, yeah, but then it's just sort of like, oh, well, why weren't the rest of them this good, for fuck's sake?
Zack and, like, Snyder was sneaking
the Batman in. Film, I cannot wait for. Because yeah. I love this Ben Affleck Batman. He is a murderer, sure, but I want to give them the chance to explain themselves, right? Mm. I think that they've got a great looking guy, like, you know, physically, you know, he's got a great screen presence. The costume looks amazing. The Batmobile's a bit, but I'm on board with it still, sure. Yeah. Even though it's just got machine guns on it, but whatever. Yeah. and you know, there's the whole Robin thing, and you know, there's a lot of sort of like mystery caught up just around that. And that's what I want to see. I want to explain what they're all about before you go, here's a big team-up film with Aquaman, Flash, and Cyborg, people that you've never, ever met before. We've got to do all of their backstories because all we've seen of them so far is an attachment on an email.
Yeah. I saw a clip on Instagram that they posted. Don't know if you want to know. It's not really a spoiler. It's just Alfred and Bruce talking.
Yeah.
So semi-spoilers. Alfred, I didn't catch what Alfred said because the clip kind of starts halfway through. But Bruce is basically saying Superman was an alien, but he was more human than we was. He's more human than I am. He's got all this tremendous power, but he got a job. He got a fucking love life, and he tried to settle and just be like us. The world needs Superman.
So maybe that's like a turning point of him just going, fucking hell, maybe I'm doing the wrong thing here.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that the events at the end of BVS, I mean, it did kind of hint on it a little bit when he's talking to Wonder Woman at the end.
Yeah.
But I've got a feeling it's going to be he sacrificed himself to save the world. Maybe I shouldn't be shooting people.
Yeah.
Maybe I could do this a different way. But
however, as a contrary to that, though, I want to see the crime statistics in Gotham with a murderous Batman. Like, if he was being effective, I'd say, don't be a pussy. Keep the guns. Make more guns. Be full-on Thomas Wayne, right? Yeah. Murder everybody. Punisher it. And if you manage to sort Gotham out, then you are the hero, even though you are a murderous bastard. If you go, oh, man, Superman, he killed that one guy and then a bunch of other guys. But
well, that's it. Yeah, let's compare the death count from Batman going around killing villains and bad guys, and then the death count from Superman destroying Metropolis.
Oh, I was talking about, like, fucking, you know, he kills Zod straight out.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
snaps him up good and proper.
He goes to the desert where Lois is, and then, like, he's throwing people, like, through fucking walls and things. They're not surviving that. They can't do, right? That's someone that can throw a train at you, and he's just throwing, like flying you through a wall. Unless he took the entire brunt of that thing, he's dead, right?
Yeah.
And then, like... But, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anyone else that he sort of, like, specifically attacks. But
mostly like indirect.
Yeah, it's just building damage and that sort of stuff. And when it comes up, it's like, oh, dozens killed. It's like, dozens? Are you fucking bonkers? There wasn't dozens killed. Like,
Batman
that was
just
a normal
killed
day.
Dozens in a warehouse.
Well, I'd say that there's probably a couple maybe that he's like really fucked up. I mean, the guy that he hit so hard that he put his head through the floor, I imagine he's got more than a headache, to be honest.
Yeah, he's definitely paralyzed at the very least.
Yeah, and then like he grabs a massive crate that he's put someone else through, and then throws it and smacks a guy in the head with it.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't really walk that stuff off. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm pretty sure I said this on like the Batman vs Superman podcast thing. I was just like, that Batman is like such an effective fighter because once he hits them, they're out. So he can take on a room full of 15 dudes, and he can just knock every motherfucker out. But then he also blew two of them up with a grenade.
Well, the guys that when he like grapples the car and he's just dragging them through.
They're dead.
Stuff.
They're totally dead. They have to be dead. But then like he flies into the Batwing with two miniguns on the front that are spinning round and just cuts all those cars in half.
To be fair, I mean, like in the Dark Knight Returns comic and the animated film, like he specifically mentions that it's rubber bullets. It's like in this, it's like it's clearly not. Yeah, but can you imagine if they survived and then they're ringing up their insurance and six-bladed?
Oh, Batman! Batman shot me 50 times with his rubber bullet minigun.
I'm gonna drag my car through Gotham and through buildings and. Into another building where that guy, like the security guy, when he's in the little shack thing, and the car just goes straight in.
Yeah,
he's dead.
Yeah, it's just like, well, what happened? He stabbed me in the shoulder, and then he flipped me around and threw me through a wall. So now I can't walk anymore.
But you're still coming into work, right?
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, I'm totally like, I'm okay with all of that. As long as the solo Batman movie explains it.
Yeah, if it literally gets to a point and it's like, maybe it's the Robin death or whatever.
That would make the most sense. It has to be that, surely.
Well, it's clearly not fucking working, what I'm doing. And then goes on his merry way of vigilanteism to Frank Castle's songbook.
Maybe you watched season 2 of Daredevil and it was just like, he's right.
Yeah, that's it. There's a bit where Bruce Wayne's just sat watching Netflix. He's like, this guy's got some good ideas.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that makes sense. I've got the money for it, bloody hell.
There's a funny Dorkly video with Daredevil, and he's on a rooftop, and he's talking to someone, and like, who are you? He's like, I'm Daredevil. He's like, what, why? And he's going on, like, he's been blind, and he's got, like, sonar and stuff. Like, so you... Batman? It's like, no, Daredevil.
I'm blind as a Batman.
But yeah, what were we on about? Marvel, Disney, Fox.
Oh yeah.
Have you been watching The Gifted?
I watched... That's the one with the family, right? There's so many at the moment, I'm genuinely starting to lose track of them all.
It's the one with the guy from True Blood?
I don't know. I don't watch that.
I don't watch it.
The dad's with the dad is a prosecutor for mutants, basically.
It's the one with Magneto's daughter.
Yeah. So I watched three of those, and I thought it's fine. It's reasonable. It's not the worst thing in the world by any means. It's certainly not Legion. It's certainly not Daredevil.
It's a different breed, isn't it?
It is, but that's the thing. I think it's supposed to be more accessible.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say. If you didn't like Legion, but you like comic book shows, you probably will like The Gifted.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely more X-Men orientated. As in, there's a bunch of people with a bunch of powers. Where Legion was just sort of like, we have to make a show that's set in the X-Men universe about Professor Xavier's son, but we can't mention the X-Men and we can't really mention mutants.
What you see is you see the wheelchair.
You do, but that, again, that's like in the last episode.
Yeah.
And it's only alluded to. No one mentions him.
No, they don't, do they?
No.
But he was on a chat show.
It was the MTV thing after Logan. I'd totally go into Legion and be Professor Xavier.
Yeah.
But that's also, it's just like, here's your 31-year-old son, 89-year-old Sir Patrick Stewart.
Hey, they made him look younger in First Class. And I made him look even younger. Last Stand, sorry. That's saying he looked even younger in First Class.
Yeah, that's because they gave him like a CGI head.
No, it was a different person.
Oh, well,
James McAvoy.
No, in First Class, they basically gave him a ton of makeup and then CGI'd him. It's just like, fuck's sake, don't bother.
You can get away with it. You could get away with him being his son. It's Patrick Stewart. You just forgive it.
Yeah, to be fair, he hasn't aged a day.
He still looks like Picard.
He absolutely does, and that's the weird thing. And that celebrated its 30th anniversary not too long ago. And I mean, he was still sort of like, he must have been like late 30s, early 40s maybe, in Next Gen.
Yeah, he was quite old for, not an actor, that sounds really bad.
He's quite old for an actor. They usually killed off when they're 42.
No, but I mean, like, it was, because he did, it was like his first major thing, wasn't it, I believe. Star Trek, because he was doing like Royal Shakespeare stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say he's in the Royal the RSC. Yeah. But I think in terms of a big breakout, possibly so. It's certainly the first thing I ever saw him in.
I'm going to stand by it. I don't know enough about Star Trek to say that for definite, but I am going to say that Star Trek, The Next Generation, was Patrick Stewart's big break in TV and stuff. Yeah.
I'd say that's probably, like, because if you say, if he wasn't in that, what else would you know him from?
Yeah, yeah.
I can only name things after.
I can name...
Do you know what I mean?
Star Trek, the Star Trek films, the one we watched together, yeah.
First Class. First Contact, sorry.
Star Trek, First Class.
Yeah.
X-Men, obviously. That sitcom he did. Where he's like the news anchor man.
Oh, Blunt Talk?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I think that's it, to be honest.
He did something on BBC One, Donkeys, years ago. It's like the 11th hour or something like that. It was about, I can't remember what it was, just some sort of end of the world thing anyway, but it was pretty good. Actually, though, speaking of Star Trek, have you been watching any of Discovery?
I've watched the first, like, two, and I'm incredibly behind.
Well, there's a ton there. Thoughts, though? I mean, I'm interested to hear what you think about it.
I like it, but you won't like the reason why I like it. The same reason I liked the new films. They don't seem like Star Trek, if that makes sense.
No, you're right. I think that is what is hitting a lot of sort of hardcore Trekkers hard, is the fact that they're going, well, this isn't like Voyager. Mm. But... My argument for that is, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to sit here and say it's the best show that's ever been made.
No.
I've got my own specific issues with it. But this is something that's filmed 30, 40 years after the show was, like, in its prime and popular. Yeah. Like, TV isn't made like that anymore. There are different ways that they have to be able to capture as many people in a demographic as they can in order to make it popular enough to keep it going. But there's like, this is canon. This is an actual, it is in the same timeline as the original series, as Generation, as Next Generation, as Enterprise, as Voyager, all of them. It's in exactly the same timeline. It's not in the J.J. Abrams universe, even though it would probably make more sense given the way it
feels
looks
more
and everything.
Abrams.
Yeah, but I mean, this is my big... I didn't want to start talking about this, because I know I'm just going to be talking to myself.
You
really
brought it up.
Well, yeah, true, but whatever. Like this, like I say, you know, it's set before Kirk's ship, right? So in Enterprise, they sort of took a few liberties, and they had like a few things that were touchscreen, but most things were like, they had a button, like a sort of a squishy button, rather than a clicky button or a big light or something like that was on the bridge on the original Enterprise. Again, that was shot like 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Touchscreen things just didn't exist then. Makes total sense. I'm not picking them up on that at all. However, there are like floating holograms and stuff. They have holodecks. They have something called a mycelium spore drive. They have a physical piece of apparatus which like simulates a Vulcan mind meld. There's like all of this stuff that is never, ever, ever mentioned in any other show. And it's stuff like that where I just think there has to be something, there has to be a point where they say, okay, all of this is now classified above top secret. Like, you can't have a magical warp drive that just pops you out anywhere in the fucking galaxy you want to, because then all of the warp drive is completely useless, right?
Yeah.
And I thought that they were going to stop it like a few episodes in with the big crazy monster thing. Like, that just goes. And I was just like, okay, well, they can't control it anymore. Therefore, no more mycelium spore drive, which means that they can't just randomly pop in and then poof, and then pop back out again.
Yeah.
But they figured out a way
of, I'm not going to spoil it for you because I know you will watch it eventually, but they figure out a way of basically just sort of going, it's okay, we don't need that because we'll just make our own way of doing it. So that, like, because this thing is so useful, this drive, because you can't be detected, you just literally, and you're there. So it's obviously a perfect wartime useful asset, right? Because that means you can just drop in, bomb the enemy, and then fuck back off again, and no one even knows where you came from, right? So there has to be a point where they say, all this stuff that you've invented, like, because that's what Discovery is, it's a science ship. So it's, you know, it's like super advanced. Everything that you come up with, everything that we've seen through the show is like blacklisted, and it's like locked in like an Indiana Jones vault, and it's like, okay, well, we can never ever use this again.
For God's sake.
But they have to have a good reason as to why that is.
Yeah.
The only reason that I'd let them get away with it is if, because something that's established through quite a few of the different shows is that in the 29th century, like Next Generation of Voyager and that, they're all set in the 24th century. In the 29th century, so 500 years in the future from then, because there's like Starfleet, you know, but there's a temporal division, which is like the guys who sort of like monitor the timeline. So whenever there's anything that fucks up time or the passage of time or whatever.
Like Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes, exactly, that kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
They go back in time and say, okay, well, there's, you know, something has happened that's not supposed to have happened, which is changing the timeline. So they'll go back, correct it, and then return back to their time.
Right.
And these people from the 29th century, every now and then they will pop up and just be like, I'm from the 29th century. And everyone's like, well, you're not. That's bullshit. And then they'll, like, phase through a wall or something. And they're like, oh, okay, yeah, you probably are, aren't you? Fuck, okay. So, like, these people have got the ability to come back and just say, well, don't do that because you'll ruin everything for everyone in the future, so don't do it. Or they go back and just erase it from happening in the future, from happening at all or whatever. So if someone from the 29th century comes back and goes, you cannot use this warp drive anymore, like, that's not allowed. It will fuck the universe forever if you carry on using this thing. So I'm going to take your ship, or the drive that drives it, I'm going to take it to the 29th century, and you can never have it again. If they do that, I'm just like, that's a ridiculous enough reason for Star Trek for me to go, sure. That explains why no one ever talks about it or ever mentions it. Yeah. And I've got an encyclopedia, a Star Trek encyclopedia that I've had since I was a kid, right? Not long after First Contact actually came out, so early-ish 2000s. There's no mention of a mycelium spore drive. So it's not like something that was like randomly mentioned in an episode somewhere and that, you know, everyone's just kind of forgotten about it. Yeah, they've just made it up for this show. So they have to get rid of it in a way that says, this is why it's never, ever, ever touched on again. Otherwise, why would Voyager not try and build one and just fuck the fuck back home? Because they're like, then they're like 200 years more advanced than Discovery's ship, the Discovery.
Yeah.
So if it was something that was just sort of subtly in the background and people go, well, we like our warp drives, you know, we like our dilithium crystals, we'll just stick with normal warp drive and none of this fancy nonsense. But if Voyager knew about it, it was just like an ancient myth or something like that, then they could just research it and go, oh, no, wait, that was totally a thing, and we can totally do that because there's all these spores in the universe somehow that we can use that to just travel across the entire universe and pop up back home again.
Fucking Star Trek, man.
It's so conveniently just not mentioned anywhere else. Like, there has to be such a good reason as to why no one's... And, I mean, that's not even my biggest issue with it. It's just that drive, and it looks cool, and I love it, and I love the ship. Like, you haven't even seen that yet, jeez. But there's things that just don't add up canonically.
Yeah.
And they have to explain it away. If they explain it away, I can forgive it. If they don't, you're idiots.
Right. I don't understand enough about Star Trek, and I haven't got that far in. So, what else you got for me, Sunshine?
Well, I got Wolfenstein 2, Shadow of the Colossus on Friday.
Oh, well, Shadow of the Colossus?
Yeah. No, that's not what it's called. It's absolutely not called that. What's it called? I've forgotten already. The New Colossus. Sorry. I'm still... Like, this was my dilemma, right? Because I don't usually buy, as many people who listen may know, I don't usually buy games as they're coming out. Like, I think Andromeda was the last thing I got, and that, again, was the last thing that I got for a long time. I don't usually buy things sort of day one or whatever.
Yeah.
However, I was left with a bit of a dilemma, because I had Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus... and I had Shadow of War. And I was just like, I need to get one. Well, I could get both. Let's be realistic. But I wanted to have one that I could just sink some time into. And, you know, because, I mean, I've got the Fractured Butthole as well. And it's amazing. But that I'm enjoying that one so much. And it's so funny that I want to kind of, I want to break from that. And I want to play through something else and give myself time to, you know, I can just go back to South Park whenever I want to, right?
Yeah.
So I decided on Wolfenstein because the New Order blew me away. I was just so impressed with just how it looked and how it felt, and it was atmospheric and it was violent and it was killing Nazis and it was cool. So and I love the look of Shadow of War. You know how excited I've been for that. Yeah. But as soon as I started seeing some of the trailers and some of the gameplay footage of Wolfenstein 2, I was just like, God damn, that just looks so cool. So I got it on like Friday just gone, I think, and I completed it by Sunday. I mean, it's still about like 15 hours or so, and I was only playing like mid difficulty, and there were a couple of bits that I struggled maybe, but most of it was kind of a breeze. But man, it's good. It is real good. There's some great storytelling, some really cool characters. It's setting itself up for a third game. I'm hoping it's not just a trilogy, and they carry on pumping these out to this quality. But there's definitely going to be a third one. And I'm annoyed because I've got it within a week or two of it coming out. And now I've got to wait like 2 fucking years for the next one to come out so I can carry on playing it. But it's so good. And I know that the DLC, because I got some DLC with it as well from our friends at CD Keys. Mm-hmm. 2790 something, I think.
I'm going to have a lot now, Daniel.
Yeah, it was 20 odd quid, like 27 quid, and it came with 2 pieces of DLC as well, which should now be available as of this listening to the podcast. And I haven't even played them yet. They're unlocked, but I've never played them. So I'm going to probably do that tonight, actually, after I've finished with this idiot. So Wolfenstein, get it. Absolutely love it. Shadow of War, though, I think I'm going to last about a week before I go, oh, fuck it, and just buy that as well, and just start caning through that, because I cannot wait to get stuck into that. That I know there's going to be a lot more to that than there is Wolfenstein.
James is about 30 hours in,
yeah,
and he's not close to finishing.
Well, I completed the Witcher 3 in about 80 odd hours, I think. Well, that I mean, I got to the end of the story in 80 hours, but I've still got so many side quests to do in the main game, and then I've got the 2 pieces of DLC, which are separate worlds unto themselves on top of that as well. I mean, there is so much content in that game. It's fucking crazy.
Well, you can head to CD Keys via the link in the description, and you get Wolfenstein: The New Colossus on PC for $27.99 from our friends at CD Keys, and you can purchase the Freedom Chronicles Episode 0 DLC for £1.99.
Awesome.
Excellent stuff. What is coming up on the channel?
Well, I was going to talk about my D&D progress, but if you just want to sort of bail on that, then fuck you. Well, I'm doing it anyway.
No, it's going to have to wait.
Why?
We haven't got time.
No, bollocks, I'll wrap it up, right? There's been about 4 fucking sessions, and I've forgotten half of it already, right? So I can't exactly keep it as detailed as last time. Shut up. So, oh, Christ, where do I start? Fuck me. Bear in mind, there's been like 9 hours worth of play that's happened, if not a little bit more than that. Do you know what? Fuck it, I can't. I can't do it. There's no way I could possibly. I mean, it's still so much fun. And well, a lot of people have changed characters. We've actually had 2 new people that have joined the group as well.
Hey, I've got a better idea, Dan.
Okay, go on.
What we're going to do, we're not going to do it on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
You're going to sit down and we're going to do it properly. And then I'm going to turn it into a PvP show.
Ooh.
So there'll be animated stuff.
Peoples
and wizards and goblins. I don't know. I forgot what shit is. You're a halfling, aren't you?
That's right, I am.
There you go. I remember.
I'm the only one left from everyone that's playing that's still using the original character that we started out with.
That's dedication, that is, halfling.
It is. And man alive, I'm kicking some ass. I'm getting some really. I don't think I've fucked up a single roll yet. It's brilliant. Except
hacks. Like,
there was. I'll tell you this one thing. For free. There was one session that I couldn't go to because something. I've already got something planned with you, unfortunately.
My birthday.
No, it wasn't that. But because I wasn't there, and they still had the session. They, obviously I couldn't play. So they knocked me out, right? So I was unconscious through the entire session.
Oh God.
But it was like a case of I would, you know, come back around and then piss on a dangerous magic mushroom and knock myself back out again. I just had like, because I've had like some really sort of like good encounters. I've intimidated some people. I killed an ogre in the last thing that we had. Well, I don't, not single-handedly. I kind of like finishing blowed it, but man, it's cool. But like, there was just this one section where I was completely fucking useless. Like, someone used me as a weapon at one point, like grabbing by my ankles and smacked someone with me. So, like, they really took the piss when I was unconscious. But I came back in strong for the next one. We've had some really good sort of like role playing stuff that's going on as well. Oh, it's so good! I wish I could record it, honestly. If it was like 3 hours ago, I'd definitely record it.
Well, we'll do it properly, Dan, and we'll make it into a PvP show. So, some stuff that's coming up on the channel. We filmed some GoldenEye yesterday.
We did.
With our new favourite mode, Arsenal, and it's pretty good. You can go onto the channel and the website and stuff, which we'll go through after. And Dan did a RimWorld video last week.
Mm-hmm.
There is Cal and Zoe's Halloweenathons Part 1 and Part 2 that is up, along with GTA 5 Boinking and Cal and Zoe do Cuphead. So there's lots of stuff you can go and look at. Where might they might they?
Well, I'll tell you. You can go to www.podcastvsplayer.com or .co.uk. You can go to youtube.com, which is probably where you're watching this, /podcast versus player. Everything is usually listed on there. Kind of first. Most things. Except the podcast, yeah. I think.
Yeah, podcast on the website first.
Yeah, you can tweet us at podcastvplayer. You can send us an email to playervpodcast@gmail.com. All this like Instagram, and most of it's all, I'll tell you what, just go on the bloody website, go on the contact us section, and everything's listed on there. And we've got a shop as well.
We have.
If you want to buy t-shirts or posters or clocks or mouse mats or mugs, there's a varying amount of sort of like just general bits and pieces, some of which is PvP related, some of which is just funny stuff that we've drawn. I say we, like I'm taking credit for it.
Yeah. Dan does it all. I just upload them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're like my pseudonym. So I do everything and then put it under your name. So
hey.
If it's all shit and no one likes it, then you get discredited.
Yeah, but if it's good, you get paid.
Bingo.
We still need to finish our Trictus halfling as well.
God damn, we do. Yeah.
What we're doing is Dan is looking over my shoulder and just shouting things at me. And I draw them, and
yeah,
then
basically.
when it's finished, we'll show you.
Crack that whip, baby.
It's been fun. It's been all right, although we haven't done it for a while. But it was good. It was a thing that we did, and we haven't done it since.
Yes,
just like everything else. Right, as always, Dan. What is on Dan's monitor? What is on it today?
Which one?
Right,
okay. Let me just get the shit out of the way. Okay, ooh. This is, if you get this, I'll be slightly impressed. But it is a photograph. It's a photograph that I've taken.
Mm-hmm.
It's of someone that you do know from a long time, Yoldy time in the past. Very drunk.
Jordan.
No, and I thought you might say Jordan, but it's not Jordan.
God damn it. Is it you?
No.
How long ago?
College days.
Oh, so it is someone from college.
Yeah.
Is it Rory?
I've got a photograph of Rory. These names are not going to mean anything to anyone, by the way.
Can I have another clue? Is it male or female?
It's female. Interesting surname.
Robin.
No, but good guess.
Ah, oh, she's got an interesting surname.
She has got an interesting surname.
Was they part of the inner circle or the outer circle or the
kind of outer circle?
The triangle-a-thon. I need another clue, Dan.
A relative of this person designed the podcast intro.
Is it Gemma?
It is Gemma.
I won't say her last name in case people just
hunt her down
randomly
on Facebook. It is, and she's wearing my little rocker poncho thing with
I'm not even joking. When you said it's somebody drunk, I automatically assumed they was wearing the poncho.
Did you really?
Yeah, I'm not even joking.
Yeah, she absolutely is.
The first picture that came in my head was, oh, there's that picture with the gas mask and the poncho, and then I realised that's you.
But she's wearing the poncho, but some like scuba diving goggles. I don't know why.
I don't know
where they came from.
Can I have a bonus point?
For what?
I'm going to tell you.
Oh, right, okay. Sure, bonus.
Yeah, do it. oh no, right, I remember. It's not that picture. I can't have the bonus point. I was going to say, is this picture from Facebook? And on the comments, it's you saying where you got the poncho from, and then someone's like, no, they didn't, I bought it.
Yeah.
But that is the photo of you, not of Gemma.
Oh right, yeah, no, because I definitely bought that, because I remember the whole thing. I remember my memory's a bag of shit, right? But the one thing I can definitely say for sure is how I got that poncho.
The thing is, Dan, like, you've forgotten some incredibly important, not necessarily important things, but things that I have literally just told you. So I can't really trust your memory.
No, but I had witnesses. I could get written statements.
I've got the receipt. I've got the footage.
No, I could give you the exact story of that poncho and how it came into my possession. But I'm not going to do it now.
No, we are going to go. So thanks for listening. As we've already said, you can visit the website. You can use the links in the description if you're watching this on YouTube, and you can check out the website, the Twitter, Instagram, all the other good stuff. Our Lou Goldeneye video will be up probably by the time this podcast's gone up, all being well, if not a couple of days later, and we have some more stuff planned, so keep tuned, stay safe, and just do what you do. I bought it back, Dan.
Please don't.
It's gone now, we'll never use it again. Bye.